Pasik Ches. Vikalu v'chadu in chidu v'charifo. So we learned this yesterday that the word chadu over here, according to the Radak and many of the Mefarshim, does not mean teeth. Has nothing to do with teeth, but it has to do with being swift, being sharp, being ferocious. Okay, mizeevi edev ki zeevim leis edev yetsu litroif. The nature of a wolf is to go out and attack in the evening. Ufashu parashav yirbu parashav kemoshe pirashnu nafayshu amcha. Your people have increased. V'yonasan tirgim v'yirdoin paroshohi. So he is saying of his very important word. Ufashu does not necessarily mean to increase. According to the Dadak, the Mitzudois, it means to increase. He learns yirdoin means to, I think it means to dominate. If I'm not mistaken, the yirdoin means to dominate. Their parashav will attack. In this context, it means ufashu parashav. Their horsemen will succeed in dominating over their victims. If I'm not mistaken, the yirdoin. That's what the word the yirdoin means. Maybe we'll see more clearly if I'm. Okay, there's going to be another interpretation. It means to dance, and in that context, it means that they're going to be very swift. Okay, there are many translations. Okay, for right now, we'll come back to it in one moment. Right now, I think it means the Yodoyin means to dominate. Chosh lechol memaher lof el hechalol sheyire meruchayk. They're swift to eat, and this means they're swift to fly to the dead bodies that they see from a distance. V'ha-nesher of kavoya mishor ha'ifayis shabai kalas, he mentioned this yesterday, this chazal, that the nesher flies higher than all of the birds. U'mamahir lo'uf l'fich adiv ha'zoch ha'nesher v'yonis antirgim ki nishra d'to'es l'meichal perish, which flies. The word d'to'es, that's even like a modern Hebrew word. A motos is an airplane. It has a similar, at least the samach, perish yuuf, it flies swiftly to there. So let's review the chazal that Rabbi Kalis mentioned. This is a Rashi in Chumash. Vo'ese eschem al kanfei nishorim vo'avi eschem eloi. Rashi there says, why did Hashem select the nesher to be the bird which he used the metaphor that will bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael? Because a nesher flies higher than all other birds. A nesher, all birds are afraid if when they carry their children that another bird will see from above that their children are on its back, and because of that fear they have no choice but to put their children beneath them. They carry their children below them. In other words, you have a bird that's flying. And the bird that's flying would ideally prefer to take their children and carry their children on their wings. The problem is, all birds, not every bird can fly that high. There's a limit to how high a bird can fly. A bird is always afraid that there's going to be another bird that is above it that will see on its wings it carrying its children, and it will swoop down and grab their children, steal their children from the mother. So what does the mother do to protect her children? She takes the children and she holds them in her hands underneath her body in order to protect her children from a predator, from a bird that's flying above. The nesher does not have that problem because the nesher is the bird. The unique characteristic of the nesher relative to all the birds is that the nesher flies higher than any other bird. So the nesher is not afraid that there will be another bird that will appear, that will fly above it, that will steal the children. Therefore, what does the nesher do? The nesher puts her children on top of her wings. Vo'ese eschem al kanfei nesharim, upon the wings of eagles. Here it says that they will fly like a nesher. And we learned yesterday more of a drush, that the pain of hearing these words is extremely acute, because this was the bird that brought us to our redemption. And now it's the same bird that in this metaphor that's flying to us in Eretz Yisrael to bring us into exile. But on a more simple level, the reason we mention the Nesher, because the Nesher, when you say the Nesher, there's a connotation, it has nothing to fear. It is the world power. We know today that we hear in modern times that if there's a nation that starts up, like even Eretz Yisrael, if Israel takes the liberty to bomb Syria or to bomb Iran, in the back of their minds, they're always concerned, what will America say? They always feel that there's someone on top of them that's watching their every move, who they are accountable to. That's a every nation is like that. Every nation, to a certain degree, is weaker than another nation. There's always an issue. And every action they take, especially a military action, is always a concern that they're going to have to be accountable and answer to someone above them. The Nesher does not have that issue. There is no one above the Nesher. When the Nesher takes action, it's not accountable to anybody, because the Nesher flies supreme. It flies above. Likewise, Nebuchadnezzar is not accountable to anyone. He will come attack. He will do whatever he wants. There's no one that he has to report to. There's not going to be any trial for crimes against humanity, because he's the one who owns the court. So there's nothing, no one's going to hold him back. That is extremely dangerous. When a person is not accountable, then we know that then their victims are in a lot of trouble. There is nothing holding them back. And that, to a degree, is the meaning of the metaphor here. Yo'ufu kinesher. They will fly like a nesher. They are not accountable to anyone. Thus, they are extremely dangerous. In addition to the fact that the nesher is extremely swift, it is the fastest from all of the creatures. It sees prey from a great distance, and it swoops down lightning quick, lightning speed, to attack its prey. Pasuk Tes Neradah Kula Lichamos Lasses Chamos Yavo. They are coming to steal. Now comes next Radak. This is the hard part of this pasuk that we spent so much time on yesterday. These very mysterious words, Megamas Pinehem Kodima. Perush Adoni Avi Zichrono Levracha. Min Hagmiinina. He is following the lead of what Rashi and the Mitzudas as well also alluded to this, that this word is related to Hagmiinina Ma'atmai Mikadech, which we learned yesterday to mean to swallow, to gulp down. Omar Yovohu Be'azus Ponim Ki Ilu Ruach HaKodim Shi Aza Hish Kisa Pinehem, as if the eastern wind has watered their ponim. Now notice, according to the Radak, he is combining two perushim. He is suggesting the word kodima represents the eastern wind, and in this context, it's a metaphor for chutzpah, for azus, and megamas pinehem means to gulp down. Okay, so that's pretty much what Rashi said. That indeed is what Rashi said. I take that back. I'm sorry. He's basically repeating the words of Rashi. Megamas pinehem. They gulp with chutzpah, with azus, with ferocity, like the eastern wind. They have a farshim perishu noichach ponim v'chein tirgim yonison mikovel apehon, opposite their face. Now the problem, the other Mefarshim don't learn like that, as he notices. He notices that they say that it means opposite the east side. And the problem is, that's not correct. In other words, they want to say, Yovo Migamas Pinehem Kodima, towards the east. Let me read those words one more time. The Mefarshim Perishu, the Ibn Ezra, he says specifically the Ibn Ezra, let's see one moment, nochach ponim, opposite the east. V'chein tirgim yoynason, mikovel apehoin, v'hinei lohoye nochach pinehem mizrach, their faces did not turn eastward, ele ma'arav, ki heim bivoy am el eretz yisrael pinehem, le ma'arav, was towards the west. Ki Bavel Mizrachis le Eretz Yisrael. Bavel was on the east north side of Eretz Yisrael. Ella imkeni yisparesh kodima bederech hadimyoin. This is just a metaphor. Ki ilu amar ki kodima kloimar nochach pinehem yihye beazus ponim kimaruach kodim shuhi azah. He's going back to his own peshat. Let's review.
The Metzudot David really addressed the question of the Radak. The Radak acknowledges that most of the Mefarshim want to understand the word Kadima as a geographic location, the east side. The problem is, how do we take the word east and fit this into the Pasuk when Bavel and the Kasdim are on the east and they are coming to the west? So if we take the Pasuk and the words at face value, Kuloi Lechamos Yavo, Nevuchadnezzar is coming for violence, Megamas Pinehem Kadima, which simply means their goal is to travel eastward. According to the Radak, as he quotes the Targum and the other Mefarshim, we're going back to the Perush, the first interpretation of the Metzudot David, that the word Megamas means goal. Megamas Pinehem, their goal is to travel Kadima towards the east. It's as if it says Likodim. And as we remember that in Rashi often tells us, anytime we have a word where the hey at the end does not belong, the reason why it's there is because a hey at the end of the word is equivalent to a lamed in the beginning of the word. And we would thus translate the words Megamas Pinehem, their goal, the goal of their forehead, of their desire, of their face is Le Kodim, to travel to the east. But that's not geographically correct. The Babylonians were in the east. Their goal was to travel to the west. The Metzudot David answered this question by telling us to add a few words into the Pasuk, and what it means is their goal is to rob, steal, and go back home. Return to where they came from. In contrast to a nation that's civilized, when they go to war, their goal is not to disappear, to steal and plunder. Their goal is to establish themselves as the authority and to remain there. To remain there and to demand that the people that they conquered send money, they send taxes, they pay homage to the motherland. So they occupy the land, they set up a new regime, and they are in charge, like what Nebuchadnezzar, like what the Persians did in the Beis HaMikdash. They put their emblem, their logo, on the front door of the Beis HaMikdash, on the Shar of the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Shar Shushan. There was the image of the emblem of the government on the gate entering into the Beis HaMikdash to remind every person who comes to the Beis HaMikdash who is in charge. We, Shushan Habira, the Persians, we are in charge of this Beis HaMikdash. It was us who gave you permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, and if you misbehave, we will shut this sanctuary down. So here, that is the goal of a civilized country. You conquer, you establish law and order, you establish yourselves as the authority, and everyone has to behave. You're not going home. You're there to colonize your nation. Everyone's going to address it differently, but let's appreciate the question. According to the Radak, that's how the Metzudot David acknowledged that. It says that's what ordinarily a country would do, but not in this case, because in this case the people are barbarians. They don't even have the sophistication to understand that it would be to their benefit to colonize their victim and remain there. Instead, what do? They just come to conquer, to steal, to plunder, to do terrible crimes, and to go back home. So the Metzudot David translated the word Kadima to mean, and to return to the east. To return to the east. The problem is, with the parish of the Metzudot David, it does not say the word return. Where did he get the right to inject into the Pasuk a word that does not exist? According to him, Megamas Pinehem, their goal is to rob and steal. That's also, it's not in the Pasuk. He's really translating the words backwards. Kulo lichamos yavo Megamas Pinehem. He's saying, start with the words Megamas Pinehem. Their goal is what? Lichamos yavo. Their goal is to rob. And then, Kadima, to return home to the east. That's not what it says in the pasuk. You've really taken the pasuk and you've really manipulated the pasuk by injecting a lot of ideas and words into the pasuk. If you want to read the pasuk at face value and translate the words megamas pneihem kodima to mean their goal is to go to travel to the east, or megamas their goal pneihem kodima. It appears that the Radak is also suggesting that the word pneihem should be attached to the word kodima, which means they're facing forward towards the east, but they're not facing towards in their conquest towards the east. They're facing forward to the west. The east is where they come from. And he does not want to give the answer of the Mitzudas, and that's why he prefers his understanding, which is identical to Rashi, that the word Kodima is not a geographic location. The word Kodima is a metaphor for the east wind. It means literally the east wind, and the east wind's character is ferocity, and it's a metaphor to mean that their goal, that the megamas, and the word megamas does not mean a goal. It means to swallow, to gulp, like a chazer, like a pig, like a barbarian. Megamas pneihem kodima. The swallowing, the gulping of their face is ferocious. These are barbarians, they're animals, they're coming to terrorize society. So okay, that is a chazara. He's addressing the weakness of the pshat of the Mitzudos. He's giving his pshat, and he's putting all of these things together. Now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Ches, the Kalu. Going back to the description of the horses of the Kastim, the Kalu, Lemaher, Lorutz, the Milchama, they're swift, the Chadu, Hakast, the Kalu, Susav. Okay, again, one more time, the Malbim. The Kalu, Susav, Hem Kalim, the Merutzasam, Yosem, Mi, Ni, Me, Rim. Shem Kalei HaMeroitz Mo, the swiftest creature in Tanakh is Kal, is a leopard. V'gam Chadu, they're sharper, Mizeevi Erev Shehem Chadim Upi Ro'im Yoisrem and Azeevim Hanim Tzoim B'yar Me'oirov. Me'oirov, now Me'oirov means, Erev. He's Me'oirov. How does he translate the word Me'oirov? Shehem piroim o, they are brazen. They are brazen creatures. For who yeh pere odom, we have the same exact expression that the Malbim is drawing from Yishmoel. Vehu yeh pere odom, he says that this nation, they are barbarians. Vesusim koele yis yoru haparashim lurkav alehem. He's describing that the type of horses that the Kastim are riding upon are not your typical horses. These are horses that are extremely dangerous because they're violent. And the average soldier wouldn't even consider mounting such a horse. Yet, due to their brazen nature, he says that a horse that is swifter than a leopard is not a horse that a common soldier is willing to mount. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to its rider. Yet the Kastim are not afraid. They mount these violent, swift horses, and they travel. And there are not a few of these people. There are Ufashu. There are many, many Parashov, many horsemen that are brave to mount these violent horses. They're not afraid. And v'hagam sheparashov merichog yovahu v'heim ayefim meroiv aderech. Even though they're traveling very, very long distances, b'chol zois, doesn't matter. Lo yenuchu midarkam, they do not rest from their way. Rak yo'ufu b'kinesher chosh le'echol shetekef b'voyam yilochamu v'yichbashu v'yishlulu shalol. Immediately, when they arrive in their land, they fight and they conquer and they plunder and they steal. Okay, so one advantage he gives us, the Malbim that the other Mefarshim did not give us, is I like this, is where he says the word chosh le'echol goes back on the beginning of the words ufarashav merachok yavo, which means even though they are traveling long distances, which ordinarily would weaken a person and not give them, and they would dull their drive to plunder, steal, rob. No, does not hold them back. They're not at all tired. They're strong, vibrant. They still yufu kinesher. They're swift like a nesher, and they're swift to steal and rob. The jet lag is not holding them back from violence and crime. Now let's go. Now we come to the hard part. Pasuk Tes in the Malbim kulo lichamos yavo she'ein tachlis me mahalochay loreshes kavoid v'limloich al aratzay shekavash. This goes back to what the Mitzudas David taught us, that the Babylonians are not like other civilized nations. They have no interest in colonizing their victim. You would not destroy the infrastructure of the country that you conquer. You want it to remain intact. You want it to be strong, because the stronger the economy of the country that you conquer, the more money you will receive is taxes. A regular nation does not quickly go back home. They remain there in order to accustom, to train them how to give honor to the motherland. They're violent people. Their goal is only to steal, to plunder. Ulchein magmas pneihem kodima yoshuv tekef el hamizrach. The Malbum is coming to promote the idea of the Mitzudos David. The word kodima means to return to the east. And he is not following in the ways of the Radak, that does not approve of injecting into the pasuk words that do not exist. Tahainu el midinosoi sheboshe bavel shebavel hoisa b'mizrach lo aratzay shekavash. Relative to the nations that Bavel conquered, Bavel was in the east. Ulchinifor yeesoyf kachol shavi einoi maniach ha'amim lo sheves b'aratzay sehem rak loicham imo la shavi el aratzov. They take. He's explaining something that's very good, that they take back home with them. Instead of remaining there and setting them up as a new malchus, as a colony, they take captives and they return with them back home. They collect them and they take them back to their motherland to use them as slaves. We find that in the famous piyut on Tisha B'Av of Rabbi Yossi, the son and daughter of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael, Kohen Gadol. The son of Rabbi Yishmael, Ben Ubas, Rabbi Yishmael. This piyut is on Tisha B'Av, and it also appears at night. We also make mention of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael on the night of Tisha B'Av in the piyut, one of the first piyutim. It also mentions them. They were taken as captives back home, back to Rome. They were taken. They didn't care. Nebuchadnezzar, when he destroyed Yerushalayim, he did not care to leave the people there. They should remain there and let the land remain in peace. He destroyed.
Actually, Beit Nebas Rabbi Shmuel was by the second Korban.
You are correct. I made a mistake. You are correct. You are correct. Right, but the same idea. The Deinu Baal Shem Yishmael was by the Romans. By the Romans, here we discuss the Bayis Rishu, the Vuchanetzer, you're correct, but it's the same principle. The same principle is that they did not let the land remain. They completely destroyed the land. Okay, let's now take a look at, so the Malbum is really repeating the Mitzvah David. Now I'm going to read for you over here very quickly, the Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra, because he always says something very, I'm sorry, the Gra himself. I'm confusing Chalakuk with Nachum. So let me read over here very quickly, some of his ideas. Okay, you don't have it probably, so I'll just read it and summarize it. V'kalu b'shloisha dvarim tikon nitzuach hamulcham ho'echad kalus v'azihirus shenis v'achzorius v'ho'abirus alev shlishi b'giborim harbe. The Gra Kedarkoi is very mesudar. Chazal say, there's something you always get from the Gra. Chazal say, lomo nikru talmidei chachamim soifrim. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called Soifrim? Now, Soifrim we loosely translate as a scribe. But a sofer literally means to count. Counters. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called counters? And the answer is, Chazal said, because they're always counting. The way to thoroughly understand any topic is to break it down into numbers. And the Gra thrives on this principle. You always see the Gra doing something like this. He takes a pasuk and he says, let's first understand that there are two rules, or there are three rules, or there are five rules. Okay, by me, there's only, I always come on to one yesod. In this world, Rabbi Isai, every single one of you can be divided into three groups. Those who know how to count, and those who don't. No one's smiling, no one's laughing. Everyone in this world can be divided into three groups. Those who know how to count, and those who don't. Are you callous? You got it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely true. Make it any funnier.
Okay, let's go further. So the Gra says here there are three different Devarim Tikoin Nitzuach HaMelchama. Okay, this is what he says. There are three things to show you the boss. Number one is to be swift. Number two is to be cruel or brazen. And number three is to have a lot of soldiers. He's teaching us, giving us a course in West Point. The way a nation establishes, incredible idea, they should study this grunt in West Point. A way one nation establishes themselves as an authority when they conquer another nation is three things they have to do. They have to show they're very quick. They can get the job done immediately. Number two, they have to show they're brazen. There's nothing that they will not do. They'll kill you on the spot if you don't behave. And number three, they have to have numbers. You have to have large numbers of soldiers marching in the street. These are three critical...
Okay, so speed, ruthlessness, and numbers.
Correct. And think about Nazi Germany. It's amazing. Exactly those images come to mind. Blitzkrieg, swiftness, brazenness, I need not even have to describe to you, the chutzpah, and their viciousness, how they would take anyone that was out of line and shoot them on the spot in public, and numbers. I mean, they came, you see the images, they came into these shtetlach in large numbers. This is what an army does to show they are the boss. And that's exactly what this pasuk here is teaching us about Nebuchadnezzar. He had all three characteristics. Number one, Kalu mi ni meirim susav. They're very quick. They get the job done very quick. Blitzkrieg. Number two, v'chadu mizeevei erev. They're ferocious. There's nothing they will not do. If you step out of line, they shoot you on the spot. And number three, ufashu parashav. The word pashu. He is translating the word pashu like the Mitzudah stuff, like Rashi. Numerous. The word pashu is a complex word. We'll try to touch upon other translations, but most mefarshim here learn a lot. They have a lot of soldiers. Okay, next. V'hinei, kishahamelech menatzech melchama miskabsim loy kol gibor midinosei uchashim natzech oid miskabsim loy gibor oid midinos acheres. Now he's telling us another thing. If you're the boss, people always like to hang around successful people. That's a reality. You like to associate with successful people. Who in our day and age are successful people? You always see people flocking to the rich. Don't you always see these? You always see people that are they're super wealthy, but they're nothing special. They're not, their intelligence is nothing impressive, and their way of life and their whole personality is nothing very special. And yet, you see people associating with them. They love to associate. Why? Because people like to associate with successful people. That's just the way of this world. In ancient times, success was defined not necessarily by money, but by gevura, might, power. In these times, it was a violent world, and a person that was successful in war was a person you want to associate with. So here Nebuchadnezzar was very successful, and he says, now that that he was successful. He's doing something very, very interesting, the Gra, and he's telling us, not like anyone else on this page, that the Pasuk, the end of the Pasuk where it says that they come from Ufarashav, Merachoik Yavohu, does not mean, like everyone else on this page, that the subject of these words are the horsemen of Nebuchadnezzar. And it means, even though the horsemen of Nebuchadnezzar, even though they traveled thousands of miles, hundreds of miles to their destination, they were still vibrant. They were still strong and healthy and full of passion to succeed. No, the Gra says. When it says Ufarashav Berechok Yavo, this means other nations. When other nations heard about the success of the Nebuchadnezzar and his army, they wanted to associate with him. So all of the other horsemen, Giborim, they came to learn the technique to join Nebuchadnezzar. Let us be part of your army. Because it's human nature to want to associate with successful people. I'll give you a mashal. This story, I probably told this to you 10 times, but I'll repeat it again for Chazara, that there was a fellow who was super, super wealthy. And on Purim, every year, people came, they lined up around the block on Purim for donations, and he gave out money, and they all sat around him the whole day. He was busy the whole day. It was his day. He had the limelight on Purim. Vayihi hayoim. Wealth is a gilgul hachoyzer ba'olam. He lost all his money. And he was poor. He had nothing. So now, the word went out. It's a true story. The word went out that he was yardum in a chasav. And all of the organizations crossed his name off the list. Don't waste your time going to him on Purim. Spend your time going to other leads that will likely be more successful. So he sat in the house on Purim and no one came. No one came to him. So there was a friend on his block that saw what was going on. He said, "Ay, ay, he must be so depressed. Because all of these years, this was his day in the sun. Everyone came to join. Everyone came to line up around the block. And now there's no one here. He must be so depressed. Let me do a chesed and go to him and just sit with him, commiserate with him." So he went to him. He sat with him and he was very appreciative. And then he said, the wealthy man said to his friend that came to commiserate, "You know, I don't understand. I don't understand why people are not coming. I know I used to give out a lot of money, but don't they still want me to give them etzos? Don't the people, even though I don't have money to give them, but don't they want me? Why don't they come for my advice? I have such good advice to tell them how to run their organization, what to do to be successful. How come no one is coming for my advice?" He still expected these people to come on Purim just to hear what he has to say. Foolish, foolish. They were not coming for his etzos. They were coming for his money. And if there's no money, no one could care less. People like to associate with successful people. If a person is blessed to be wealthy, he must be successful. Here as well, when it says, Ufarashav Merechog Yavahu, Nebuchadnezzar is successful. And thus, all of the armies of the world, let us join Nebuchadnezzar, let us learn from his ways. That's how we learn Shan the Pasuk. So he takes a hold of Shan the Pasuk. Merechog Yavahu, Hainu, Hamedinois, I'm reading the words here, Hamedinois, Acheros, Hakarevim, Elov, Yeufu Kinesher. They fly like an eagle to come to learn from the ways of Nebuchadnezzar, the success of battle. And then the Gemara goes further. What is it in Chosh Lechol? Rotsa bozel lishlol shtei hapechisuyos. Asher la habo baderech meirachoik. We're coming over here to deny two weaknesses that happen when a person travels a long distance. So, Hainu darko l'maher mois. Let's explain this. Very beautiful what he says. When it says you're chosh le'echol, it means they're swift to learn his ways. Unbelievable. That uforoshov merechog yovohu, when the word gets out of Nebuchadnezzar is a successful warrior, people from all over the world, they travel to come to Nebuchadnezzar to be part of his team, and they come quickly. There's no delay. And when they arrive, chosh, they're very quick, le'echol, to gobble it all up, to learn, tell us how you did it. Tell us what kind of weapons are you using? What's your strategy? What's your technique? They're quick to gobble up his ways. Incredible parish. You're telling us a lot of the Gra, more and more you learn, the more you learn the Gra, the more you learn that the Gra was a master psychologist. Master said he understood the human condition. He understood how people work, how people operate. And he's teaching us over here incredible lessons in this one pasuk. He's telling us in order to establish yourself as a victor in a country, you got to do three things. You got to act quickly. You have to act with brazenness, and you have to have large numbers of troops on the ground to show the people who's the boss. Number two, he's teaching us that in order when a person is successful, people flock to you. They flock to you, nothing holds them back. They'll come swiftly. And not only will they come swiftly, when they arrive at your doorstep, they will consume your ways. They will be eager to gobble up, understand your operation so that they can mimic and imitate your ways. Okay, now we come to the next pasuk, which is the difficult part of the pasuk. And that is, okay, and the Gra, now let's see how the Gra learns this section. It's short. Megamas pineyem kodima ritzon leimar kiruach hakodim habol lahacharev es kol ha'olam. Okay, so he says something a little different. And he tells us the east wind is the wind that can destroy the world. Okay, isn't that a frightening concept? The east wind can destroy the world. There are four different winds. Each wind has a unique character. We until now we've been learning all the mafarshim. The east wind is aza, is mighty, is powerful, is strong, it's ferocious. But no one here on the page said that when Hashem wants to destroy the world, ruach kodim kol halayla. It says by kriyas yamsuf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sent forth the east wind. The east wind was blowing the entire night in preparation for kriyas yamsuf. Now it doesn't say there that Hashem destroyed the world. Hashem just used the east wind to separate the yam. What does it mean over here? So obviously there's more to it. By the Mabul, did Hashem take out the east wind? I do not know. I do not know the Mamari Chazal, but it seems that there's something about the east wind which has the ability to destroy the world. And over here we're mentioning in this pasuk going to the Gra that Nebuchadnezzar is out to destroy the world. He's not just out to destroy Klal Yisrael. His violence is such that he is a threat to the very existence of the world. Okay, let's now go to, you know, the coronavirus traveled west, didn't travel east, started in China, and then made its way east.
So that's traveling east.
No, it traveled west. In China, it traveled across Europe to America. That's west.
Well, also, it came in from the west coast.
It did? Seattle. So you want to say that it traveled east? You want to say that it traveled from China across the Pacific? Is that
it's really both, but I mean, yes.
Interesting. The first place where the coronavirus appeared was in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle.
And now, I think they say Baruch Hashem, it's over there. So that's a good...
Yeah, but no one ever figured out
patient zero.
Localized at a nursing home, then it went to other nursing homes. Was it his town near Seattle? How did it get there?
Patient zero. Who is patient zero? Good question. They know how it went to Iran. They know exactly how it went from China to Iran. Iran, it's unbelievable what's going on in Iran. And they know exactly how it spread from China to Iran. And they know exactly how it spread to Pakistan. Okay, let's go further. Over here, it's winds.
There were 5 million Chinese who traveled around the world.
It can come from anywhere. All right, let's go further. This is the Gra, so we concluded the Gra with the Radak, the Mitzudos. There is one Likutei Shas. Would you believe that? We haven't had Likutei Shas in a long time. I don't know what happened. Art Scroll, editors, why are you denying us? Memori Chazal. They've disappeared for a long time. But here they gave us one. Ye'ufu Kinesher Chosh Lechol. This is a Sifrei in Devarim. V'chosh Asidois Lamoi. Now he's quoting a pasuk. He's quoting a pasuk in Hazinu. The chosh asidois lamay. The future will swiftly come upon them. Now, what does that mean? Kishakadosh Baruch Hu mevi poronus ala umos marish alehem es ha'olam. He causes the earth to quake. V'cheinu oimer yu'ufu kinesher chosh le'echol. This sifrei at the end of Parshas Hazinu connects the pasuk the chosh asidois lomoy to the pasuk over here yuufu kinesher chosh leechol, like a gzeresh of a chosh chosh. And the common denominator is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings churban, when he brings churban upon the world, it happens very quickly. It's very frightening for us. It's very frightening. Who would ever imagine a month ago we would be where we are today? Nobody. Nobody saw this coming. Just a few weeks ago. Isn't that shocking? A few weeks ago, no one would have imagined we would all be in lockdown, not able to go anywhere, not be able to come in contact with another human being. And every time you see someone, you're afraid, oh no, this guy's going to kill me. This guy has germs. What did he touch? What did he do? Who is he? Where has he been? Who would ever imagine such a thought would go into your mind? And that's the way we live today. It's not real. And how did this happen? It happened in lightning quick speed. And that's exactly what this Sifrei says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Chamas upon this world, he sends upon this world the Tzara, if Hashem wants, it happens lightning fast. Ye'ufu Kinesher Chosh Lechol. You know, if you take this this pasuk and apply it to coronavirus, no one would say no one would laugh. Ufarashav, the horsemen, the carriers. You could say that the carrier horseman is a person riding a vehicle. The people who are carrying this disease, Merachoik Yavo, they've come all the way from China, and it has arrived on our doorstep. In lightning swift feet, Ye'ufu Kinesha, it came here like an eagle, Chosh Lechol, and very quickly did it eat up society, did it create havoc and bring sickness, Rahman Litzlan, and death upon society. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. This Sifrei is coming to connect that these two psukim, which basically say exactly the same thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomoy upon the nations of the world, he will bring upon them what they deserve, the asidois. Asidois means the future meaning the future punishment. And when the time comes, it will come very, very quickly. And we have to have emuna that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring such horror, such tzara upon us so quickly, Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. The salvation is even quicker, is even more swift. Look at this idea. Poronos is described like the flying of an eagle. Ye'ufu kinesher chosh lechol. When poronos, when churban, when sorrow comes, if Hashem so wants, it comes at lightning swift, lightning fast speed. And what is the lightning speed? It's a nesher, a bird. A bird flies very, very quickly. But to blink your eye is even faster. Keheref ayin. The blinking of an eye is even swifter than the speed of an eagle. And this fits in line with Chazal. Miruba mida toiva mimidas poronos. That a good midah by Hashem, a midah that brings benefit and kindness and salvation, is much quicker, is much greater in quality and quantity than the midah poronos of Churban of Din. A midah of poronos, we learn from this Chazal, is the, especially the Sifrei makes his point, it comes in lightning fast speed if Hashem so wants, like a nesher. But a midah toiva of salvation, Yeshua's Hashem, is keherifayin, like the blink of an eye. Okay, that concludes the Mamar Chazal. There are other mefarshim here, but you don't have them, and they repeat much of what we said, more or less. So let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, it says, V'hu ba me'lochim yiskalos. Nevuchadnezzar will make leitzonis. The word yiskalos is a very unique, rare word. It doesn't appear, he quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, lekales, in the Mitzudah, it's a pasuk in Yecheskel, lekales esnon. And in that context, it means to mock, lag, mockery, ridicule. The who, bamalachim yiskalos. You know, it's like what Trump does. Trump, when he calls, what does he call? The little rocket man. Okay, little rocket man. Kim, leader of North Korea. Where did you ever hear a world leader, head of state, call someone else, make fun of him that he's short and he likes to shoot rockets? Publicly, he calls him little rocket man. And you probably can go through a long, long list of his titles, of his terms. But that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar, who be malachim yiskalos, he mocks. He will mock world power. Leaders of the world, he will make fun of them. V'roizenim mischok. Mischok means also laughter. He'll make out of leaders, he'll make them into a laughing stock. Loi, they are to him. Hu l'chol nivtzar yischok. Anything that was considered in this world to be a stronghold, he will laugh. It's nothing. It's a joke. He'll come with his weapons of mass destruction and obliterate these people. Vayitzbar ofar vayilkida. He will gather his spoils as if it's earth. It's nothing. It's child's play. It's child's play for him. To collect all of his spoils, or okay, there are different perushim. I only told you one perush. The other perushim we'll see in a few moments. We'll go through it slowly. Let's just do one another pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oz chalaf ruach vayavor v'ashem zu koychoy le lo hoy. Then he is renewed with spirit. Okay, when he sees himself successful and he is guilty of Hashem, what is his guilt? By attributing his success to an idol. Let's read the words in the Mitzudos David with much more precision and clarity. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos David. V'hu bamalachim yiskalos. Hu mehatel umalig bamalachim levazoisam bibizoyon nifla. The word yiskalos is an extreme word, an extreme expression of mockery. He will conquer the world and he will make leitzonos of all of the world leaders. Veroiznim hemaloy. Yeah?
Rabbi, could this be one of those words that you like to say mean one thing and its opposite?
What do you mean? The word, what other word, how else would you pronounce this word?
Well, it means to praise.
What's the original form? Give me an example.
Kilos is praise.
Kilos. Okay, kilos. Kilos. Okay, excellent. Excellent. And Michal is going back to our old Yisoid of Yishrash Yisharesh. If you were to pronounce the word kilos with a chirik under the kuf, it would mean to praise. When you manipulate the vowels, it can mean the complete diametric opposite. Kalos. Instead of kilos, manipulate the vowels, exchange them, then it means the opposite. It means to be mevazeh, to degrade, to make leitzonos, to ridicule, to mock. Absolutely fantastic. And we have to add that word to our list. We have to have a list of all of these words that we have discovered which can be manipulated to go from one extreme to another. So he's going to mock these kings further in the mitzvot of the Roizdim. Heimolo l'mitzvoki yisleitzetz b'chem b'divrei giduf. He makes leitzonos. A leitz, what's a leitz? I always tell you this very important yisoid. I learned this in ninth grade. A leitz is in contrast to a mechanef, a flatterer. These two words are always used together. A choinef, a flatterer, versus a leitz. What's the difference? A leitz is a person that takes garbage and elevates it to prominence. Person takes some human waste and he says, oh, this is gold. There's nothing in this world more precious than human waste, animal waste. That's a leitz. A leitz. I'm sorry. That's a choinef. I'm sorry. That's a choinef. Yeah. That's flattery.
Translated as a scorner.
All right, a scorner, a choinef is someone that takes garbage and elevates it to prominence. A leitz does just the opposite. He takes something which is truly valuable and makes nothing out of it. Take gold and you say it's nothing. It's garbage. It goes in the toilet. That is a leitz. Now, in how do we use the word leitz? Leitz, you take a Talmud Chacham or you take a person who has dignity and you make out of him garbage. You do things, you say things, you create an environment where people, an individual who is truly dignified, special, choshuv, you make out of him a nothing. That is a leitz. A choinev is you go to a lowlife, a criminal, a thug, a person that is just an intolerable person, and you make, oh, you are such a great, great person. You are our leader. That is a mechanif. So here it says concerning Nebuchadnezzar, and he explains over here in the Mitzvot that he is a leitz. He takes kings. He treats them as their garbage. These are kings that have real accomplishments under their belt. They have achieved great things for humanity, for society. And the Nebuchadnezzar comes along and he destroys this world by ki yisleitzetz bohem bedivrei giduf, with words of insult. L'chol mivtzar yischok. Malik hu al orei kol orei mivtzar bo'amo shebekalus rav yich b'shem, that he will easily conquer them. V'chein hu ho'emes, it's true, ki yitzbor ofar harbe, what does he do? He collects, he makes what is called a mound. What is a word? There's a word for this. When they would conquer a city, a siege mound, a ramp, a rampart. Is that the word, a rampart? They would build a ramp up against the wall of a city, and they would then just ascend the wall. A city has a wall, so what do? You just build a ramp. You build a ramp, and you then go over, you come on top of the wall, and you drop yourself, you lower yourself into the city, and you open up the gates. That's exactly his technique. What he did was, all of the fortified cities, he collected an enormous amount of earth, vayilkida, and he conquered the city. That was his technique. Now, to do that, you need a massive army. If you have a very, very tall wall that's very, very high, the amount of earth you need to gather, to create a mound, to create a ramp where you can just go to the top of the wall is enormous. You need a collection of soldiers that's beyond belief to do such a thing, especially if the wall is very high and tall. And that is what Nebuchadnezzar was able to do. And that's what it says in this pasuk, according to the Perush of the Mesudas Tavit. Now the next words are, Os cholaf ruach bir'ois atzma b'chol kach mem shalah. When he looked at it in the mirror, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the mirror and he saw how successful he was, machalif da'ato, he became crazy. Machalif da'ato means he became meshuga. Vayavor, incredible what it says. He translates the word vayavor means to pass. What does it mean to pass? It means he became delusional. The thoughts that went through his mind were delusional. If I was so successful in conquering all of these mighty nations, it must then be that I am a god. Nitrifa daitai. The translation of vayavor is he became meshuga. That's how he learns pshat. Machalif daitai vayavor mino emes. He moved away from the truth. A meshuga is a person who does not live in a world of reality. Living in a world of reality is synonymous with emes. When you're not living in the world of reality, you're living in a delusional world, then vayavar, you have passed away from emes. Vayesham, he became guilty. Ba'omroi, when he said, Zu hakoyach hanosun bohu miyuchus le'lohov. This koach, power that he has, is a divine power. Ki ho'a voidas kechavim shaloi hishlitoi. His idol worship has given him authority to succeed and conquer the world. V'lo Hashem po'al kozos. It is not Hashem who has done all this. Ki yodehu be'atzma shlo yoshu ma'aso be'ine Hashem. He is aware. Now this is a very powerful statement of the Metzudos David. He's giving the Nebuchadnezzar quite a bit of credit. If the Metzudos David says this, he certainly can prove it. He can certainly prove it. And this is a quite a statement, is that Nebuchadnezzar was aware that his actions are not pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. In other words, he acknowledges there's a God, he does acknowledge there is a creator, and yet he knows that what he's doing is not in Hashem's favor, gonna find favor with Hashem. But so what? There is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there are other gods. And those other gods have given me this power. And those other gods are competition to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is how he learns Pshat in this pasuk. Let's read the pasuk together one more time. Let's review the Yud Aleph. Pasuk begins, V'hu ba'melochim yiskalos. Nebuchadnezzar will make leitzonos, will ridicule world leaders. V'roi zinim mischok. He will laugh at world leaders. The difference between the word melech and roiznim, I do not know. We'll probably see in some of the parsha in more detail, but they basically, for our purposes now, mean exactly the same thing. This poetic repetition, the word mischok is the same as yiskalos, and melech is the same as the word melochim is the same as roiznim. They mean pretty much the same thing, that he's going to make leitzonos of military leaders, of political leaders, of kings, elected officials. He's going to make out of them into a joke. They were a joke to him. World leaders were nothing more than comedians because of his power. Who? He, Nebuchadnezzar, l'chol mivtzar yischok. When he looked at any powerful city, it was a joke in his eyes. He laughed. You think you're going to hold me back? I will come in with my weapons and with my success. I will destroy you. And if you have a city that has a wall around it, no big deal for me. All I need to do is give a command to my officers, Vayitzpar Afar. They will collect earth, build a ramp, and ascend the ramp and come to the top of the wall of the city, lower themselves into the city, open the doors. My soldiers will enter and the Yilkida and will conquer this city. Oz, at that time when he was successful, Cholaf Ruach, he had a change of spirit. He no longer was a humble man, if he ever was. His spirit changed. Vayavor, and he moved away from Emes. Ve'oshem, and became guilty in the eyes of Hashem. What was his guilt? His guilt was when he said, Zu koichoi, this koichoi, le'lohav, is Le'lohoi is to be attributed to his God. The God that he worshipped has given him power. Zu koichoi, this that is his power, is to be attributed to Leiloi Hoy, to his God that he worships. That's where it is derived, and that's why he is guilty, and that's why he had a cholaf ruach. His spirit has changed from being in the world of reality vayavar into a world of sheger. And before we conclude, there is one amazing point here. There's one amazing, amazing insight that we have to appreciate according to the Metzudos David, and that is the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Vayavor Hashem al pono vayikra. Hashem passed in front al ponov, which simply means in front of the ponim of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one pshat. Some say al ponov means his own presence. But let's learn now very simply. Vayavor Hashem al ponov. Hashem passed before Moshe, who was hidden in the Nikras Hatsur, in the cleft of a rock. Vayavor Hashem al ponov, vayikra, and Hashem called out the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachamim. And what are the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachamim? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Mechanon, Erech, Hapayim, Brav, Chesed, Ve'enes. Noitze Chesed, Lo Alofim, Nosi Ovonu, Vafesha, Vichato, Ve'nakei, Lo Yinakei, Pokeid, Avon, Ovois. We discussed the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachamim many times. There are numerous Rishonim that disagree as to what exactly are the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, how to break down the Pasuk. Okay, that's not for now. But one thing is certain. There is a Midah in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim called Emes. Emes. The question is, how is Emes a Midah of HaRachamim? Just the opposite. I think the common man would assume that Emes is a midah of din. When you focus on the pure, unadulterated truth, it's not very pretty. That's a reality. MS, the facts speak for themselves. And when there is MS, you go into court and the judge looks at the facts, it's not a pretty sight. You always need rachamim to say, even though you've done A, B, and C, all right, listen, you know, let's have rachmanis on you. I'll have rachmanis on you. I'm not going to give you, punish you according to the letter of the law. So what in the world does it mean, MS, in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? This is one of the toughest questions when discussing the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. We have over here a pasuk in Chavakuk, which gives us some insight. And the answer is, this is just a drush. When we learn Tanakh, Baruch Hashem, we're learning Tanakh, we're getting a little bit of a flavor of how the pasukim are written. And one thing we know for sure, the way you read a pasuk in Chumash or in Tanakh, it's not the way you read a sentence in English or the New York Times. In English, in every language, it's really very straightforward. You go in order, you follow the sequence, go in order, there's the first word, the second word, the third word. It's not meant to be complex. You're not meant to be supposed to repeat words in a sentence. It's not meant that you should read the words of a sentence backwards. You go straightforward. But when you learn a pasuk in Chumash, it's not the way it goes. There's always an understanding that you should read the words out of order, you should repeat words to give it sense. Over here we learn in this pasuk, according to the Metzudas David, Vayavar, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar was Yavar from MS to a fantasy world. Nebuchadnezzar started off as a human being. He must have been disciplined as a child. He must have been like everyone else. And he lived in the world of reality, that he's a nothing, a piece of garbage. He's a nobody. And lo and behold, Hashem selected him for whatever the reasons are, gave him extreme power and authority to do things that no one can ever imagine. And when this happened, he became delusional. Cholaf ruach, which the Metzudas David translates to mean he became delusional. And then what happened? The ultimate happened to him. Vayavar. He left the world of MS. He entered into a world of sheker. And what is the sheker? The Hashem. He became guilty by attributing his success to a god. The word vayavar in this pasuk is associated with leaving the world of MS. So I want to suggest to you that in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, when we have one of the 13 attributes of MS, it's not meant to be understood by itself. It's meant to be understood together with the word vayavar Hashem alponov. What does this mean that Hashem passed? It's a nice description. Hashem is in a chariot. President of the United States is coming. His entourage. The beast is coming. And they have five of them to camouflage. No one really knows in which one is the real president. And there's an ambulance and it's a communication center. And there are bodyguards. And there are all these people going. That's not what it means, vayavar. Vayavar is has a much richer connotation. And what I'm trying to say is, in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, many of the words are not to be translated alone. They are to be translated in connection with other words. Vayavar Hashem al ponav vayikra. But just one example, when we come to the Midah of MS, take the word MS and attach it to the word vayavar. The Midah of Rachamim, of MS, in the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim, is not MS, that's Din. It's vayavar al ha-MS. The Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to say, listen, I have in front of you, in front of me, your file. I have your records. I have your x-rays. I have your CAT scan. I have the MS. But you know what? Vayavor al ha-MS. I'm willing to overlook the MS. How could you say such a thing? Where do I have the right to say such a krum upshot? That the word MS should not be understood literally. It has to be understood together with the Hakdama to the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim. It's this pasuk right here in Chavakuk, in the middle of nowhere. Oz Cholaf Nevuchadnezzar. Oz then Cholaf Ruach. He became delusional. Vayavor. What does it mean, Vayavor? Mitsudo Istovit. What's Vayavor? Min Ho MS. He left the world of reality into the world of fantasy. When the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Vayavor Hashem al ponav vayikra, and it goes on to say MS of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim has to be attached to Vayavor Hashem. And Vayavor and the MS go together. The Ribbono Shel Olam overlooks the MS. Because the MS is not pretty. The MS is very ugly. Most of the time for us. When our records go before Hashem, the pure, unadulterated MS is not very good. So you know what? Vayavor al ha-MS. I won't look at the MS. I'll live, Hashem says, I'll live in a fantasy world that you didn't do an Avera. You didn't do an Avera. It's not what it really, what it says here is not true. It's not to be taken literally. Don't look at the MS. Don't read the words literally. Let's be a little creative in reading the record. Look at the x-ray. It's nothing. Doesn't mean that. You'll live. You'll live a long life. Arichas Yamim. That's my chiddush from Vayavor here, going to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, because that question is such a tough question. Look at the Mefarshim. You're going to have a very hard time finding an answer to understand what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the midos is MS. MS is not a good thing when it comes to din. There are answers. Okay? There are answers, but this pasuk here opens up a new idea, explains a little bit the Hakdama to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and we only can appreciate that Baruch Hashem by learning Chavakuk. We have material, holy material to shed light on mysterious things in the Torah. Okay, we're going to stop now, take a very short break, And then we're going to learn the Haggadah. I wanted to do Haggadah yesterday. We got sidetracked. So today we're just going to devote the entire second part. We'll just go in one shot on the Haggadah. I want to focus specifically on Nirtza, on the Piyutim, L'Chadgadia, Echad Miyodea, V'Amartim Zevach Pesach, some of the more mystical parts of the Haggadah. We'll continue that after our short break in about 3-4 minutes. Mayor, you're wearing Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi? What are you wearing now, Mayor? What tefillin are you wearing? I can't hear you. You have to unmute yourself. I can't hear a word you're saying. I cannot hear a word
you're saying. Aren't you happy when you don't hear me talking?
No.
Rabbeinu Tam.
I'm not happy. It's very lonely.
Yeah. It's getting to me. So did you speak to David, the Persian?
I did speak to him yesterday. I did speak to him.
How's he doing?
He's doing Baruch Hashem. He's doing very good, Baruch Hashem. He told me a very frightening story. He told me that he knows of a couple. I'm assuming, someone in his age group. They live, I guess, an Iranians. They live in Borough Park. They both passed away. I told you this yesterday. They both passed away.
No.
Husband and wife.
At the same time?
In Corona, pretty much. Husband and wife. Unbelievable. Today I got an email today that Ovadia Sima passed away. Can't believe it.
Yeah, you heard the story about the guy Greenwald? They told the kids to come to Levaya at Shomer Das.
Was the wrong?
Exactly 10.
Yeah, it was
1, 2, 3. They came, they said Tillim, a capital Tillim. They went, they said, yes, Mechila. Just then, one of the guys came out and said, "We gave you the wrong guy."
Yeah.
And they went with the father and they sent them out. And they found out that the guy they sent Tillam for, and they asked Mechila, was a person who was all alone. He had been nifted 4 days in his apartment. He was a mess mitzvah. And they davened for him. And their father always ran away from Kavod. His name was Moshe.
Unbelievable.
He ran away from COVID. At a wedding, if you wanted to give him a bracha, you had to assign someone next to him that he shouldn't run away. So he fooled his kids that even by the Levaya, he ran away from COVID.
Unbelievable. So sad. It's getting to me. It got to me already. It's already too much. Too much.